potatoes, four. Five potatoes, six potatoes, seven potatoes, more. One potato, two potatoes, three potatoes, four. Five potatoes, six potatoes, seven potatoes, more.
Potatoes.
Welcome to the Potato Week Podcast with your host, Dan Fleming and Tom Crossman.
Thank you, TJ.
Thank you, TJ.
Welcome to episode 71, which probably isn't really true, but...
Well, technically we're still missing 68 and 69.
Correct.
Bryce actually asked us about that yesterday.
Goodness. I'm looking at our sound levels, and they're very low.
That is strange.
But everything appears normal.
Well, I can move a little closer to the mic. We have that ability.
But I should be louder than I am at this distance. But anyway, we'll try it, and
You just might have to end up blowing out your eardrums and playing everything very loudly.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. Technology, folks.
I think the plan, we haven't really, really talked about it, but I think the plan is that this episode is just Rogue One, and it is spoilers.
Oh, yeah, it's most definitely spoilers, and yes. I was actually thinking about it. It's actually kind of cool, because we could actually be doing the year-end review on the last day of the year.
Yeah.
Which I don't, that doesn't happen usually.
Right.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
One question I was going to bring up for our top list for next week.
Yeah.
Does stuff that was... Because this is the weird part for me. There were films I was thinking about putting on my top 10 list, or the top 3, whatever we're
doing. I think if you watched it this year.
Okay. Because I'm like... it seems weird to think that like I still saw stuff like Spotlight in the Big Short this year when they were considered the best films of last year.
Right.
But we didn't see them until like late February.
Right.
I'm not sure if any of those... I mean, it's... I'm actually probably going to put those on, like, a different category.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, best Oscar films from last year.
Yeah, because just based on the Golden Globe nominees, we're going to be in the same boat as far as not having seen any of them.
Oh, my God, yeah. So when I looked over the Golden Globe nominees, I'm like...
You know, I heard of, like, one of them.
Yeah, and even then, I'm like, okay... I was so happy that I'd actually seen one already.
Yeah.
I had seen Hell or High Water. I was like, all right, I'm ahead of the game this year, I think, compared to last year. But yeah, there's a lot of... That might make it on VOD the week before the Oscars are announced, you know, type of thing. I've got a feeling it'll be a lot like last year, where the week of the Academy Awards, I'm going to be downloading a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Because most of them... I've heard good things about stuff like Moonlight.
Yeah.
I guess that played for, like, a week already down at, like, Railroad Square in Waterville.
Yeah.
And I know Manchester by the Sea is actually going to be playing there next week, which I actually do want to see because I'm a big Casey Affleck fan.
Sure.
Speaking of which, did you watch Saturday Night Live, the Dunkin' Donuts commercial he did?
No, but I've heard it's good.
It's fucking amazing. It's every Dunkin' Donuts you'll ever go into.
I saw, you know, I scrolled past it several times today. I was going
to
watch
it. Well worth, like, the 2 minutes it takes to watch it. He's fucking hilarious. They need to do more of the Dennis Lehane novels.
Yeah.
That, like, Gone Baby Gone.
Yeah.
Because that was I think there are 5 or 6 books in that series, and all they've done is Gone Baby Gone.
Yeah.
I need him in more of those. Because I love those books, and that movie was so goddamn good.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot.
Nice coverage. But yeah, today, Star Wars spoilers. And I'm actually in a very heavy Star Wars mood because we had a snow day yesterday.
Yep.
I watched all 6 of the films. I did not rewatch The Force Awakens. I had watched that, like, the week before.
Yep.
And it was getting late, so I didn't want to rewatch that again. But I watched all 6.
Before Thursday, before we saw Rogue One, I watched Star Wars... I watched Episode 4 the day before, and Force Awakens the day before that.
Yeah, I essentially sat all day yesterday just having those on in the background while reading Star Wars comics.
Yeah.
I read about 45 of them.
There you go.
Between the Vader series and the main series and, like, a couple of the little spinoff series.
Yeah.
I was sad I did not get around to reading all the Poe Dameron's. But that is actually a good series. It's weird because, like, The Vader series just ended at 25 issues. The Star Wars main series is going well. They did a Han miniseries, a Leia miniseries, a Chewbacca miniseries, a Lando miniseries, a C-3PO one-shot.
That was a one-shot. And it was how he lost his arm, right?
Yeah, that was Arm Turned Red. And then, of all the things, Poe Dameron got a continuing series. Which, you know, of all the people from Episode 7, you would not have been like, oh, you'd have been the one I picked, but it's good.
Well, maybe they have some sort of roadmap for him.
They probably do. I don't even know if it takes place before or after. I haven't read it. But I've got like 10 issues, but I haven't read it yet.
Man, I'm still fighting the cold number 2 of the season. Having a walking disease bag come into my house every day at 3 o'clock is not good for me, because I catch everything.
Is that what Colin is?
Yes.
But yes.
I catch everything.
You send a kid to school, he's coming back with goodies.
Right.
All kinds of it.
Right. So, and the only person it seems to really be affecting is me.
Oh.
Because Robin doesn't ever get sick. Although Tilly has been stuffy, too. But
I will say that is one of the best things about working at a homeless shelter, is that my immunity is through the damn roof.
Yeah, and that's because Robin worked at a corporate daycare center where there was like, I mean, it's the size of a small school.
Yeah.
It basically is. I mean, there's like, I don't know, 50, 60 kids there.
Yeah, there is never a week where at least one of the kids at the shelter isn't sick.
Yeah.
So my body has just been continually fighting it off for like 6 years now. That's why when I get sick, it feels like it's going to murder me.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, out for the count. Like, I'll sleep for an entire fucking day.
Yeah.
And then the next day I'll be okay. But,
like,
yeah.
I think twice in this past week I went to bed right after we ate, like, at 6 o'clock at night. Went to bed and didn't get up until the next day. But, Rogue One.
Rogue One.
How do you want to attack this?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting because I think we have different takes on it, which will be pretty cool. I'm getting my notes here. I did kind of like a likes and dislikes for it. I mean, we don't really need to resell the plot, because I think everyone who listens to us has probably either watched it already or will be watching it before they listen to this.
Yeah, we're not here to...
And it's not like it's an intricate plot that needs rehashing.
Right.
They need to steal the Death Star plans.
Right.
They steal the Death Star plans.
Right.
End of thing. I know one of the complaints that I've read...
Oh, see, by the way, I have not read or seen anyone else's reaction.
Oh, I read through a bunch of shit. You need to... I posted the guy from the New Yorkers.
Now, that I did read, like, the first paragraph.
Jesus. That might... I scrolled through, because at first I'm like, is this parody?
I thought it was.
Because it's like, okay, well, Borowitz writes for the New Yorker. Maybe this guy is just, like, the next wannabe Borowitz, and he's, like, satire. And then I'm like...
I thought it was at first.
Yeah. And then I'm reading through his credits, and I'm like, nope. His favorite thing in the world is French films. This dude's just a pretentious twat.
Yeah.
Yep. And it reads like the most pretentious thing ever. It's like, dude, it's fucking Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's not going to be fucking Truffaut, you know? Right. It's Star Wars.
It's because I think it was in one of the comments or something under the article. It said something along the lines of... well, actually, first, the funniest thing was the one that Matt...
That Matt emailed us.
What was the mythopoetic stew? Is that what it was?
Yeah, how to make mythopoetic stew.
Oh, my God, it was
genius.
Hilarious.
I never read the comments on anything. I try not to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a glorious comment on how to actually make... Just the fact that you're reviewing Star Wars and you're using mythopoetic anything.
Yeah. Well, someone else in the comments had said... basically, dude, this is a story about space pirates shooting each other with space lasers, and you know,
yeah, come exactly. On. This isn't your fucking doctoral thesis,
right?
You're not impressing anyone with this review, because the people who would agree with you aren't watching Star Wars.
That's actually interesting. I wonder who. Yeah, who is that written for?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because most people that...
Well, I'll
and
tell you...
I like fine film. I can watch some Truffaut and some fucking, you know...
Anything that ends with Finn?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've watched a bunch of French New Wave fucking films and shit, you know? I like, you know, I've seen all the films of Roman Polanski and Coppola and all these guys that make high art films.
Yeah.
I don't view these films through the same lens because, again, there's nobody with space lasers.
Right, right.
The Seventh Seal, while a great accomplishment, no one was igniting a laser sword in it.
Right.
So I'm looking at it through a different lens.
Right.
And I'm not going to write... I mean, one of the most important things you're supposed to do as a writer, yes, you're supposed to write for yourself, but also write for your intended audience.
Well, what it did, you know, I hate to sound even more cynical, but it got clicks.
It did.
It got a shitload of clicks.
Yeah, it did.
A bunch of people, way more people read that review. It's probably one of the most read,
yeah.
I'm just guessing, probably one of the most read Rogue One reviews.
And I'll be more than willing to bet it's probably his most well-read.
Oh, yeah, that too. That too.
Ever.
That too.
Which means he's just going to be like, well, fuck, I'm just going to...
Yeah, because neither one of us...
You know he's going to review Transformers now.
Because neither one of us had ever fucking heard of him before.
So much that I had to make sure he wasn't a fake person.
Right.
Especially because when you see the picture of him. Did you see the picture?
No.
He's got like a long scholarly beard and everything. I'm like, this has got to be a made-up guy. Nope. He's real.
He exists.
Yeah. Other than that, I read a bunch of reviews, because most of them are all around the same.
What is the general opinion?
The general consensus is it's one of the top Star Wars films.
Really?
Yeah. A couple of them got like 2.5 out of 4 type of things.
Yep.
A lot of them thought it was kind of unnecessary, which... It was. We already know that how the story ends. That's not why they did it.
Yeah, right.
to me, if anything, it's necessary for the one thing that it ends all the jokes on. Who the fuck designed a Death Star with such a glaring flare? like such an obvious failure to it. Now you know why that existed.
I did say that. That to me is the biggest plus of this movie is that it fills. It was genius because it never even occurred to me that they would do this.
Yeah.
It was genius that they filled one of the biggest plot holes in movie history.
Yeah. And it explained it away very well. Because, yes, everyone's always like, okay, they spent umpteen bajillion space credits or whatever they use for money building this fucking thing, and then it can be killed with such a simple flaw.
Yeah.
This is why
the
guy behind it all made a back door, which... You know, if anyone out there is a computer programmer, you're always building backdoors into the shit you create.
Yeah.
So, it makes sense that...
Especially if you were building something with that kind of destructive power that you...
And you hate the fact that you're building it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even if... Let's say he was... Well, they're a bad example, but even if you're, if you designed a weapon for the United States government right now...
If, like, Oppenheimer designed a nuke... And if you had said the word whippoorwill around it, shut down.
Right.
You know? Everyone would be like, why would you do that? Now you know why.
Yeah.
So that for me was probably one of the coolest highlights of the film. I actually had a lot more likes than I had dislikes, surprisingly enough. I was kind of hoping your brother would be here today for this, too, because him and I had a good discussion about it the other night.
Where does he fall? I haven't talked to him about it.
He likes it. Yeah. He likes it. Let me bring up our discussion here. He actually had a theory I hadn't heard that people were going into this thinking that Jin might be Rey's mother. And this just pretty much shut that down.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, why... Well, in the article, there are a lot of people are like, well, this has to tie into the main one somehow.
Well,
no, it really doesn't. This is...
Yeah, because... Well,
this is Band of Brothers.
Because it leads directly to Episode 4.
Yeah, but not in the Skywalker way people want it to. Which...
Doesn't connect to the entire...
Which I'm fine with. I don't want these little films to do that. I want them to take up a little spot.
Yeah, because how many... Well, yeah, that could... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If she had lived... Because what I was thinking, it never occurred to me really until the movie started, I was thinking, oh, she's... You know, timeline-wise, not that it makes any difference, Jin and Luke are roughly the same age.
Yeah.
If you want to place it that way.
Yeah. He had... One of the things that I had, too, is... because I think maybe of how big of a part Rey played in Episode 7...
Yeah.
I think maybe we might have expected a little more out of Jin.
Yeah.
Because we're kind of comparing her to Rey. Which...
Bingo.
but honestly, that's such an unfair comparison the more you think about it.
I know.
Because... He had the same plot point. I like Rey better than I do fucking Luke.
Yeah.
Rey's awesome.
Yeah.
So comparing almost any female character to her at this point is going to do a disservice to any female character that appears in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because it's an impossible standard at this point.
Just to be clear, I liked this movie. I'll buy this movie. I'll probably watch it. You know, it'll be in my regular rotation, just like, you know, Civil War and, you know, whatever else.
Yeah.
But I guess I can say I liked it, and I would even say loved it, because anything, it almost doesn't even matter. Like, anything that, like, that it is Star Wars, and, like, it's now, and it's, unless it's egregious and horrid.
Unless it's episode two.
Yeah, then in that instance, I'm on board. But I had so many problems with this movie. Like, so many problems with this movie. And the more I thought about it, the more problems I had. Now, that's not to say, again, that there weren't awesome parts. I mean, especially the last 2 minutes, maybe, of the movie. I don't know. Where do you want to start?
Probably go with our likes, I think, first. We'll start off on a positive. That's what they always tell you to do. Start off on positives.
Okay.
And then if it works in negatives, then we can, you know. My biggest like, well, I've got a couple of them. Alan Tudyk's, what's it,
K2SO?
SO, yeah. Awesome.
Yes.
I like the fact that it's a droid that serves more of a purpose than just being there.
Yes.
Which...
Or an exposition piece.
Yeah, because, you know, yes, R2-D2 and C-3PO are fan favorites, but, especially in the prequels, they required R2-D2 to do too much.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, he's now fighting battle droids, and that those were... I'm just like, oh my... No, he's a fucking astromech droid. He's not a battle droid.
Yeah, I always thought it was funny that they gave R2... quote-unquote powers in the first three that he didn't have.
Yeah, like the rockets where he can fly and shoot shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, okay, if you want to do that with a droid, give us a different droid.
Yeah.
And, like, the prequels never did that. You had three films where you could have made a droid do anything, and all you did was those lame-ass battle droids. So I liked that we have a new droid.
Well, they've nailed a new droid in both movies.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
Exactly, yeah. The last two movies, two brand new droids that are insanely popular.
Yeah.
There were times where Tudyk's character was very, very funny. A few points when the jokes fell flat. I think they maybe tried to make him a little too funny sometimes.
Yeah, and even... I can't remember which one it was, but one of the jokes that was actually really funny just didn't fit that scene.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any problem with that.
I like the fact that he killed people.
Yeah.
You know, this is a war movie. I don't want a droid just running around going, oh my, you know, all the goddamn time.
I also
want one that's like, he's a badass. Let him be a little badass from time to time.
I like that even though the excuse was pretty thin, the reasoning for him being a smartass was, you know, explained.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, no.
But Star Wars.
Exactly. When you're going to talk about a droid's uploaded or, you know, changed personality.
Right.
You're getting a little too, you know, nitpicky.
Yeah.
But he was a good character, though.
Yes.
I loved the callback when Jin finally gave him a blaster. And he just kind of looked at it like, I've got a blaster now.
Yeah.
And of course he's awesome with it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But I'm, again, not spoilers. Of all the characters that die, his death was the one that got me the most.
Yes.
You know, even when, like...
Well, it was the most kind of heroic and self-sacrificing, even though they all were.
Yeah.
And,
like, let's be honest, he's a droid. He could be fixed and turned back on if the whole world didn't blow up. But
well, yeah, right.
The nuclear explosion kind of puts an end to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, but it's going to be tough to put those pieces back together.
Which also... That was a great way to explain why none of those, like, because there were different TIE fighters in this.
Yep.
There were different soldiers. There were different stormtroopers in this.
Right.
This was a great way to explain why there were no beach troopers anywhere in the... Because they all died.
Yeah.
They were all trapped on that fucking planet, and they all died.
Yep.
So, okay. That explains that. Which, again, leads into the battle scenes. For me, those were the best battle scenes we've seen in Star Wars. That puts the actual war.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially the, I mean, the obvious comparisons to Hoth.
Mm-hmm.
But it took the, not just the best of Hoth, it took the best of Hoth and the best of Endor.
Yeah.
And, put them in a setting that we've never seen before.
Yeah. And it, again, addresses the kind of funny joke that, that stormtroopers can't hit anything.
Yeah.
And this one they do.
Yes.
This one the stormtroopers can, are marksmen, they can kick your ass, and they do kill people. Maybe not now, as well as the rebellion people do, but come on.
Is this, are these stormtroopers, they're no longer clones, right? They're
troopers, yeah.
Yeah. They're not First Order raised from the ground up. These are recruits.
Yeah, I would think so by this point.
These people signed up.
Maybe a few of them might still be clones, but yeah, these are people who signed up for this.
So,
and it was a great new world.
Yeah.
Too, it's like, you know, this is where the Empire stores some of their information.
Yep.
And again, a beach. We haven't had a beach yet.
Right, but I did think it was they've got this huge supercomputer and they are running it on like backup tape.
Yeah, exactly, they got CDs.
So, but whatever. I didn't. It's kind of hard to put the reason I don't like that. I don't say I dislike it. Is that all of the problems with it that I have, and I have a bunch, they're all not enough to kill it.
Yeah.
You know, and even adding them all up together.
Yeah, the same with, I've got some problems, but, you know, I would have done things a little bit differently, but they didn't put me in charge of a $150 million movie.
Right, and until they do, you know, we're just guessing.
Exactly.
Until that day comes.
So yeah, the battle scenes I thought were really good. And they were scattered throughout. There was some, you know, when they were on the Jedi planet there were some really good, like, hand-to-hand scenes, especially with the blind Jedi Master guy.
Yeah.
So there's some good hand-to-hand, up-close battles. There were good, you know, space pilot battles.
Yes.
It was nice seeing a fish dude that wasn't Admiral Ackbar.
Yeah.
And then there were, like, on the beach, it was almost, you know, kind of reminiscent of not quite Saving Private Ryan caliber, but
storming a beach. I think it was definitely a nod to, maybe not that
Guns
movie, but that. That event.
They've obviously watched some war films making this. And I know the cinematographer, or the director of photography, one of the, you know, they're essentially the same person, but was the same one for, like, Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh.
And yeah. I think that showed.
Yeah.
You know, a lot in this film, even when you're dealing with, you know, some more fanciful elements.
Right.
I thought it was cool. There were no lightsabers anywhere to be found in this film, really.
Until,
with the exception of Vader.
Yeah.
Which makes him stand out more.
Yes.
Because when you hear about it, you know, the Jedi are all but extinct. Coming across a guy with a lightsaber should be fucking rare.
It
should be enough to terrorize anyone who fucking sees one.
Yes.
And you got that when Vader finally appeared. Which is kind of one of my problems. When Vader appeared the second time, you got that. Those rebels were, like, pissing themselves.
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
Right.
We're doomed.
Right.
Which is exactly what Vader should instill. You know, he's supposed to be somebody you don't see, and when you do see him, he's the last thing you see.
Yeah.
And I thought that was played off very well in the end of Vader scene, anyway. This one is kind of like a dislike. I liked the Tarkin. I liked Tarkin appearing.
Yeah.
After watching episode 4, they, if anything, should have made him a little bit older looking with the CG.
Yeah.
There weren't quite enough crevices in his face. Because I noticed he had, like, a lot of red underneath his eyes. Like, he looked like he'd been up for a long time.
Yes, yeah.
In episode 4.
Right.
And
right.
This one, he was, again, it's the CG, but he looked a little too fresh-faced. your brother called it, like, a Madame Tussauds Tarkin.
Yeah,
he looked a little bit waxy.
But overall, it was such a cool thing.
Yeah.
And something that I wasn't even aware of.
Yeah, I had no idea Tarkin would appear this much.
I thought it was very cool. It was one of my favorite things about the movie.
The only thing I would have probably changed is maybe not so many straight-on face shots when he's talking.
Yeah.
Because that's when... those would have just been fine if he was talking while looking at something. So you don't see the mouth quite as much. Because the mouth is the hardest thing to get right.
Right.
When it comes to that shit. Almost always. Because it's that uncanny valley area.
Yeah.
Way worse with Leia.
Yeah.
Leia looked awful, I thought. She looked good from a still picture point of view.
Yeah, but as soon as...
Yeah. But yeah. I was like, for me, the movie could have ended with that door opening and you see the back of her.
Yeah.
Cut right there.
They had to get Hope in there.
Yeah. No, you don't. No, you don't.
They had to say Hope.
If they had just cut right there, it's not like no one knew who that was.
Right.
There wasn't a single person in the crowd going, who are they handing the plans off to?
Yep. Now
who is
what?
That Cinnabon tear woman?
Wait a second. Cliffhanger.
Yeah, I know. She's so iconic, it's not necessary to show her face.
Now we gotta wait till Rogue 2.
Yeah, exactly. Which, I guess, can kind of lead into the cameos for me. Some of them worked way better than others.
Such as?
I love Dr. Evanson and Ponda Baba showing up on the Jedi planet. With them bumping into him and him like, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what he did in episode 4.
Right.
You know, he just...
So, you're,
he's
you
the
get
drunken
the,
asshole you
You get
bump
the
into.
Impression that he does this all over the galaxy.
Exactly. He's the you-know-who-I-am kind of guy. And Ponda Baba like, oh, sorry, my pal's drunk.
I'm wanted and something...
That dude has bad luck, though.
Yeah.
Everywhere he goes, fucking Jedi show up and fuck stuff up.
Yeah.
Everywhere he goes. I liked that cameo because it was so small. And... good for people that know the story, but maybe don't know, you know, are way to the too far into the minutiae of Star Wars.
Well, I mean, it's a nod to longtime fans, or
yeah, exactly.
You know, fans of the first movie.
I did not care for 3PO and R2-D2's cameo. Well, that to me was way more jarring.
Well, I think they forced that in because, and again, this might just be cynical because, you know, they wouldn't do that. I think they did that because aren't they the only two characters that have appeared in
every single
movie?
Yeah, so of course they have to appear. But to me, it was just a little too egregious.
Yeah. Well, it was just
You're there in the Rebel stronghold on Yavin 4. Have them walk by.
Yeah.
That's all you really need.
Yeah.
You know, have when the dude comes rushing out, like, we're getting a signal. Have him, like, knock 3PO out of the way or something and have C-3PO go, how rude, or something. And that's...
Or it would have been cool if R2 was on Red 5.
Yeah. Exactly. You know?
And by the way, I did like that we saw how there became an opening for that Red 5 position.
Exactly. Yeah. Red 5.
Well, we've got a slot.
And those were some of the cooler cameos, because they used an original footage in some of those shots. Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, there's Gold Leader, there's Red Leader. The same ones from episode 4. That stuff was cool. I like that we Mon Mothma and General Dodonna that we saw in episode 4 are still were in this one, and they got apparently the guy who was playing Dodonna is fucking the old Kingsguard from Game of Thrones, the one that Joffrey gets rid of and he ends up going to Daenerys. That was him. I was like, cool,
huh?
Nerdy.
I did not notice that.
No, he looked really good in the new makeup. Apparently, if you watch Rebels, there's a ton of cameos for Rebels.
Yes, I
do not watch Rebels.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, but the ship appeared, the ghost or whatever the ship they use appears in one of the fight scenes.
Okay.
One of the droid walks by over the loudspeaker on Yavin 4, you hear another character's name.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've never watched them, and like I know Forrest Whitaker's character is in either Clone Wars or Rebels.
Yeah, he's
a much younger man.
He's in a couple different things, I think.
So, cool little nods that I'll eventually go back and watch to see what the hell they mean.
Sure.
But, back to Tarkin. I like the fact that Tarkin is just a scheming asshole.
Yeah.
Because it seems like that's the only way you're going to get ahead.
Well, yeah, that's how you get to the top.
Yeah, because that makes, I'm forgetting his name already, Ben Mendelsohn's character, the main villain.
Yeah. Katie Couric.
That makes him a better character because it kind of gives him some frustrations as well.
Yes.
It doesn't just have a villain who's just sitting there twirling his mustache the entire time. He's got someone trying to fuck him over all the time, too.
Right.
Because, you know... And it was actually funny, when I was rewatching episode 4 yesterday, when they were having the little galactic roundtable, when Vader first finds that guy's lack of faith disturbing.
Oh.
And that the one guy that he choked out in that one is like, this is now the preeminent power, and there's just a smirk on Tarkin's face in that scene.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I kind of like that more. This film does a great job of giving more meaning to episode 4 now.
Yeah.
Not that it needed more.
Right.
It was the foundation. But now, yeah, little scenes like that. Why did Tarkin smirk there? Well, now we know why, because he pretty much took all the fucking credit for it.
Right.
Yeah. This was his project, not fucking Ben Mendelsohn's project, which he was just phenomenal. I thought Ben Mendelsohn, was a really good villain.
Good villain.
Because he wasn't just a mustache twirler. He had reasons for what he was doing.
He had real world job security issues.
Yeah.
And a lot of professional jealousy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which...
Yeah, there were a lot of real world
Everyone
elements.
Had reasons for doing what they were doing, which I liked. Which leads to one of my negatives. Same problem I had with Doctor Strange. Just not enough Mads. Damn it.
Yeah.
I like Mads Mikkelsen too much. I want him in the film all the fucking time.
Yeah, his... Yeah, he doesn't ever get to really do anything.
No, he doesn't really... Yeah, other than... Because almost every scene where it could be his moment, they move it back to Jin.
Yeah.
Almost always.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, makes sense. She is your main character.
Right.
But it's like... I'm hoping... I know there was a novel for a prequel to this that gets really into this. And from everything I've heard, it's actually a really good... I'm forgetting the fucking title of it right now. By James Luceno or somebody like that. But it's all about the relationship between Ben Mendelsohn and Mads Mikkelsen's characters as they create the Death Star. So I'm actually really looking forward to reading that because they did a really good job of setting up how antagonistic their relationship must have been.
Yeah.
And I want to see more stuff as, like, Jin as a kid going around with fucking Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
On their little sidekicky adventures. Which, there were a lot of worlds in this film. I liked that. Oddly enough, they told you what world you were on every time, with the exception of Mustafar. They didn't... When it showed Vader's world, they didn't say Mustafar. Why was that the one world not acknowledged as what world you were on?
I don't know, I'm not even putting it together, but in other Star Wars movies, they've never done that, right?
So it was odd.
Yeah.
And then it was really odd that they didn't include Mustafar as one of the it's like, are we keeping Vader's world a secret? Because, no, that's Mustafar. Kind of an odd world for him to choose his base on.
Yeah.
You know that world where Obi-Wan fucking owned you?
Yeah.
That's where you're going to make your base.
Yeah. Where you learned all about the high ground.
God. Rewatching the prequel trilogy yesterday. God.
I don't know.
There are still some spots in those that are just fucking awful.
Oh, yeah. I can rewatch the first one and the third one, but I can't even...
Two is hard.
That is such a bad movie.
Two is like, so hard. Because even with... Yeah, like we said, with the first and third one, there's some shit.
Yeah.
But there's still some stuff that is actually worth watching.
Yeah.
In them. There's high points. But yeah.
Two is just the worst.
I almost lost it when Dooku and Yoda were sitting there throwing Force Lightning and shit back. And then Dooku goes, I see our powers with the Force are equal, and we will not be able to decide this unless we use our lightsabers. It was a speech like, I'm butchering it.
No, I think that's pretty close.
But yeah, who says that? Our Force powers are equal, so we must settle this with lightsabers. Just fucking take out your lightsaber, dude. We're not idiots. We know what you're doing. But, you know, that was Lucas's problem with all three of those, is that he wrote them for idiots.
Yeah. Now, do you think they're going to understand this?
Let's spell it out completely.
We better have the characters describe everything that they're doing. Just in case.
Yeah. But yeah, 2 was hard to watch. Hard to watch. What else? Oh, wait, I mentioned the plot. The plot was solid. You didn't need a whole lot for it.
Well, the plot was already there.
Yeah. Their plot was to locate the plans. The only thing I found to be a little extraneous that probably could have been cut was the planet that was kind of rainy and rocky where the engineers were.
Yeah.
That could have taken place at any of the other locations. That one felt a little forced into me, like, hey, let's get another location in there.
Yeah.
Because that one could have easily happened somewhere else, and it could have happened later. But, you know, you needed, I guess, a reason for Jin to really get angry.
But you also, you know, you got to sell those play sets, too.
You do. Yeah, and that's what it seemed like to me.
And you got to sell the Funkos with the different outfits
on.
Yeah,
and, you know, we're gonna end up uploading this as another place to fight in Battlefront. So.
Right, exactly.
So I get why they're coming up with more places, and it wasn't that bad. It seemed a little... You could have cut that one out for me. I loved the fact that there's a lot of gray area in this film, especially with Diego Luna's character. He was the Han Solo of the film. I mean, every time we watch one of these, we're going to put someone into the original trilogy's positions.
Right.
This guy, the robot was the Chewbacca of the group. Yeah. You know? She was the Han Solo of the Luke. He was the Han Solo. And he kind of was, because we watched him flat out murder a dude in like his first scene. And I went, fucking hooray for Star Wars for doing that. You've got your so-called good guy murdering someone. And the last time that happened, Lucas went back and fucked with it.
Yeah.
You know? And even that one, you could at least say, well, Han had the gun on him. So it wasn't murder, it was defense. No, Diego Luna flat out murdered that dude.
Yeah.
Because he was a spy, and this is the shit spies do.
Yeah.
And I liked that. It's not something that happens all that often, that the hero you're rooting for is a murderer.
Yeah. Well, I think especially in the first half, a lot of the conversations between his character and Jin were... him kind of trying to explain to her, look, it's an ugly business.
Yeah.
You know, that,
and it is.
You know, that sometimes you have to do stuff that is wrong.
Yeah. And this is the first of the Star Wars films that shows that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's very... Han was the closest thing to a gray character you got.
Yeah, and he really wasn't that gray.
No, he was a straight up fucking hero. This one, you're like, no, these guys are... They're doing what they gotta do. And it sucks that all these characters are dead, so we won't get more explanation of them in anything other than expanded, like, comics or books.
Right.
Which I really do hope we get.
Yeah.
They definitely went out of their way to make this as an international team as possible.
Yes, they did.
Which I kind of liked, because, again, it's a whole fucking galaxy worth of people, and in the first Star Wars, everyone's a white dude. The only difference is some have British accents.
Yeah.
This one, you know, trying to think of where they're all from. Raz Razamir, or whatever the hell his name is, the dude who was in The Night Of.
The pilot?
Yeah, he's Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the two Asian dudes. You've got the British girl. You've got Alan Tudyk, who's, you know, straight up American.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a robot.
Nice to see him flying again.
You know,
and then dying.
Forrest Whitaker, you got your black dude on the team, briefly, kinda-ish, even though he died pretty quick. I want to see more of him as well, because, I mean, come on, the dude's got robotic feet. There's a story there.
Yeah.
That, especially considering, apparently, on Rebels, when he appears, he's not that much young. He's a lot younger looking than he is in this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like, not enough time has passed to make him look that old. But then again, he had feet.
Yeah.
The dude's obviously aged a bit due to, you know, maybe diabetes. I don't know.
That could be.
It could be. Yeah, maybe he just straight up ate too much space sugar.
Space sugar will do that to you, man.
Trying to remember who else is even on the damn team. I think I've named everybody. Yeah. So yeah, you've got a nice little international cast. I imagine this film's going to do very well in fucking China. Considering you have those two guys.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, because if you look at the guy who... I'm essentially calling him Roadblock, because I can never remember his name, but, you know, carries the big-ass machine gun. He, like, if you look at pictures of him in real life, he's this, like, very thoughtful-looking man. I guess he's, like, a writer, actor, and director.
Really?
But yeah, I'll pull up a photo of him. Not that this will help for the podcast.
No, but that's okay.
But when you look at him in when you look at a picture of him, it's like, wow, good makeup job with that dude.
Son of a bitch.
Trying to remember. This will help with the names, too. Wen Jiang. I know I butchered that, but...
Probably.
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like a math teacher.
That sounded racist.
A little bit.
That was profiling.
A little bit. But he does. He looks like an engineer. But yeah, I mean, with Donnie Yen in this, this is going to make big fucking money in China, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was just awesome.
Yeah.
I read one thing that was actually very interesting about him and Baze, that was his name, the other Asian dude, being gay.
Yes.
And
no, I was going to ask that. And again, that's actually interesting because that's what I thought.
Yeah. Makes sense.
That's what I thought.
They don't overplay it. It's not like, you know...
Well, if they'd overplayed
they stereotyped
it,
him.
If they overplayed it, it would have been forced. But the only thing, and it's kind of works in reverse because it wasn't until the end of the movie when he's holding him that I thought that they were gay.
Exactly.
And then you kind of go in reverse and you go, oh, they pretty much bicker like a couple.
Exactly. That's how it was with me too. When that scene happened, I'm just like, okay, because he does the whole. I don't want to live without him, so I'm just going to barrel forward and kill as many fuckers as I can before they take me.
Yeah.
I mean, any other guy would have been like, fuck, that's my best friend, but I'm taking off. You know?
Right,
yeah,
right.
But no, he's like, no, this guy was everything to me. He's dead. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take out everybody I can.
Right.
And then die.
Right.
And then you think about, yeah, especially every time, like, the Jedi dude would start talking one of his speeches. And Baze would just kind of get this look like, I have heard this too many fucking times. I love you, but you're an idiot.
Eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
So a lot of my issues with the movie mm-hmm. have actually sort of come up, not a lot of them, but a couple of them have sort of come up just in the way that you've talked about it. When we were... if you watch episode 7...
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of made fun of in some, you know, to a degree. The characters introduce themselves several times.
Yeah.
And it's, you very early on just know their names.
Mm-hmm.
I know Jin, and that is it.
That is true. Well,
so, this... I'm not even 100, I don't know what the, was it Kessian, Cassian, was that the name of the?
Cassian.
Yeah, okay, so it's those two, and then I don't know anyone else.
And again, a lot of that's probably just because we're American and have trouble with Chinese names, too, I think. But Baze and Chirrut.
Those are just Star Wars-y names.
Yeah, Saw Gerrera, Bodhi Rook, Galen Erso. But that's one thing I've read about a complaint about this film, is you don't. It's not a character piece. And
no.
I think they purposely don't make this a character piece because they're not going to be around.
Yeah.
The point of this movie is the plot.
Yeah, and I guess my biggest problem overall is that, and it's two things, but they're tied together, that this movie did not make me in any way care about these characters. Therefore, when they all died, I was just like, all right.
Yeah, like the robot was the only one I was like, oh damn.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's tough, and they were in an unenviable position.
Mm-hmm.
You either kill them all together at once, or you just have to have these, like, four separate...
You have to figure out a way to explain why they're not around for any of the other movies.
And it's back to back to back to back. It's like, okay, here's a death scene. Okay, here's another one.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
Yeah, you've got six characters you've pretty much got to kill.
Yeah.
And figure out eight different ways to do them so it's not repetitive.
Yeah. So...
And you can't make, and try to make every one of them seem as meaningful as possible.
Yeah, right.
On characters that you just met an hour and a half ago.
Right.
It's a hard task.
The other thing that I thought was really missing from this movie is, this should have been a heist movie.
Hmm.
With heist elements, like your twists and turns and betrayals and, you know, weird things like, you know, crazy plans that work. Yeah. And there was nothing like
that. Yeah, the only thing that ever seemed to stop what was happening was an outside factor like, okay, oh, look, they're going to get the plans. Oh, the power just went out, so she's going to go climb up and get it.
Yeah.
Oh, she's climbed up and got it. Now they're shooting at them.
Yeah.
Oh, she made it to the top. Oh, an X-Wing crashed in.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, it wasn't like there were no betrayals. There were no, it all seemed very, whoops, that just happened.
Well, yeah, and that was the other thing was, this was very poorly planned.
It did like, seem very this, spur of the moment.
You're saying this, that, and I was thinking that on the ride home. I was thinking, so my entire Star Wars universe mm-hmm. kind of emanates from that position, which is right before Episode 4.
Yeah.
So that particular thing you could say is the genesis of my Star Wars existence. And nobody wanted them to do it.
Nope.
They just went off and did it on their own with no plan.
Yeah. That part did disappoint me that, like, Mon Mothma was like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's like really? This is your shot to get this? And you're like,
so it kind of takes a lot out of...
Especially considering when you think of the shit they did in films after that.
Yeah.
Like, when they attacked a Death Star in the Return of the Jedi, we're going to hope that they shut down the shield reactor
yeah.
in time for us to do this.
But it was just that...
That guy is earning his fucking money today.
I know.
We're just going to kick field goals all game long.
It's fine with me. I'm playing against Roethlisberger. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I don't... What was the other thing that I...
Yeah, the plan wasn't very well thought out, but then again, none of them were great military minds.
No.
You had a guy who was a spy, so he spent his entire career doing what people told him to do. You take them out.
Right.
Jin was, like, just kind of pucky. I noticed, though, that the... This is rebellion. I rebel.
Yeah.
Line wasn't in the movie.
Right.
I'm very interested to see deleted scenes for that reason, because there were like six or so scenes in the trailers that were not,
that were not in the movie.
So,
and I'm okay with that because I felt like even with that, okay, this is another issue that I had with the movie, and it wasn't just the movie, but the marketing. I feel like I had seen this movie. You know, with you know, as much as we saw going into it, and you know, you obviously have the choice of not doing that,
yeah.
But you know, we talk about the trailers and stuff on here, so mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like I am very rarely one of those people that says they give away the whole movie in the trailer.
They couldn't in this one because they changed a lot of it.
yeah, and maybe that's why.
I would be very interested to hear what changes were made.
Yeah.
And why. Because one of the coolest shots I thought in the trailers was Krennic walking through the water, like, trailing with his cape behind him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a cool-looking shot.
Yeah.
Never in it, because that dude never made it to the water.
Right.
One shot showed her, Jin, when she was up on the walkway, and an TIE fighter pulls up in front of her.
Oh, right.
That
yeah, that didn't happen.
At all.
Yeah.
I think there were a couple other little ones that I can't remember now, but I was just like, oh... Okay, but we know there were reshoots. They probably
yeah.
changed some shit.
Yeah.
For a film that they say had as much extensive reshoots as it had, they did a good job of making it look pretty cohesive.
Well, I see, that's where that might be... I don't know if this fits into that neighborhood, but one of my other problems was I felt like it was oddly paced.
It did have some pacing issues, I think.
The pace of the movie was really odd. And I can't even really put my finger on it. It was just like, I don't know. It was like, I felt like by the time, because you know the end, you know when you're getting toward the end.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we're getting closer to the end, and also, you know, your internal clock, mm-hmm. yeah, I've been sitting here about 2 hours. I'm thinking, this is it. What have we been doing the last 2 hours? Like,
yeah.
Because I still don't care about these people. What have we been doing?
Yeah, it was pretty fast-paced, but yeah, there were times where it's like, okay, either go all the way out and just make this fast-paced the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there were parts... one thing that seems a little bit odd to me now, just thinking about it, Of course, they show up on the Jedi planet right as it's about to get blown up.
Yeah.
Do we really need the Death Star being shown to us twice what it can do?
No, probably not.
Especially when you go and look at Episode 4, where it's like, okay, this is the first time they tried to blow up a whole planet. Which is a day later at most.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, depending on how far they get, you're ending Rogue One, you know, as little as minutes before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's literally that Carillion Corvette takes off.
Right.
And that's,
Who knows?
And they chase it down in the Star Destroyer. It couldn't have been much longer than that.
Right.
Which, again, makes me wonder. It didn't show. That's why I kind of wish it had shown 3PO and R2 on Leia's ship. Because they're there.
Right.
Last time we saw them, they were still on the planet.
Yeah.
How did they get to that particular ship with Leia?
Yeah, because they have. Yeah, because they've got to be on it.
They have to be. But it didn't show them on it. And I'm like, okay, that would have been a much better place for me for their cameo to have them on that ship towards the end.
Yep.
Another thing that bothered me. We could have cut out the first Vader scene entirely. I think.
Yeah, because. If you were going to do... that was... Again, this is another one of my issues, was that if you're going to do that thing at the end, that should be the only thing you do.
Exactly. How much better would it have been is if, like, you know, they storm the ship, you see the smoke and everything, you see the lightsaber light up.
Yeah.
That should have been the first time you see Vader in that entire movie.
Yes, I agree.
And I would have, that would have been so much more badass. Yes, you need to give him some more lines, sure.
Well, if you were going to do that, then... He should have. If you were hell bent on having was it like a scene and a half sort of that he was in earlier?
Yeah, when Krennic went to visit him.
Yeah,
I didn't need that scene at all.
Well, if you're gonna do that, then find places to put him kind of sporadically about throughout the rest of the movie. Don't just bring him in and then he disappears.
Oh,
until
yeah, I was actually getting pissed.
There's literally 90 seconds
until
to go in the
movie. Showed up at the end. I was pissed.
Yeah.
I'm like, if that is the only time we see Vader in this film, I'm going to be so fucking angry.
Yeah.
Because, again, it was an unnecessary scene for me.
Yeah.
Krennic probably shouldn't be dealing with Vader all that much.
Right.
Vader is the Emperor's fucking right hand.
Right.
Which, it surprised me that we didn't see the Emperor at all. I thought maybe we would have seen at least a transmission or something from the Emperor.
Yeah.
Considering this is his battle station.
Right.
But, I don't need to see that Vader's still on Mustafar. I don't need to see that he, like, fucking hangs out in a goddamn Bacta tank. Vader, to me, I don't ever need to see his fucking skin. I needed that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, we got what he looks like behind the mask.
Right.
After that, I don't need to see, like, oh, look, he's still fucked up.
Yep.
How about that?
He's still a triple amputee.
Yeah, he still is gonna get dressed before company comes.
Yep.
I would have preferred to have that scene completely eliminated. And then just have Vader show up and honestly fuck more people up. He killed quite a few people. I wanted to see him. That scene could have gone on for 5 minutes and I would have been happy.
Well, that
see
was,
him wipe out fucking everyone
like
you know,
that,
on that ship.
That was. See, that's where it was. I don't know if you'd call it the pacing or just. It was like, okay, this has to be the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, this has to be... Well, obviously. But this we've got to do this for the end of the movie. But they did so many movie wrap-up type scenes before that it felt like that was like an after-credit scene.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, you can't have...
Yeah, when your two main characters die in a nuclear explosion on the beach.
Sitting together on the beach, you know, holding each other, and then...
That's a very final type of moment.
Yeah, it's like, okay, and then there's two more minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just felt odd to me, and it felt like an after-credit scene.
Yeah. Which, I'm glad they didn't do, because that would have felt weird.
Yes.
Star Wars
oh, yeah.
doesn't do after-credits, which no. is another thing. Not having the crawl is
yeah.
weird.
Yeah.
I get it, they didn't want to do it, because it's not... a main film.
Right. It's not a main line.
But the way they used the opening, the way they used the title was just weird.
Yeah.
Like, a bunch of stuff, and then it just kind of floats limply there on the middle of the stage, in the middle of the screen for a moment, and just, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why even do it at that point?
Where do you put this in terms of Star Wars?
I'm still a bit torn. I need to see it again, definitely.
Yeah.
Because for me, it still goes Empire, then Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I'm still probably leaning on New Hope before this.
Yeah.
And then Rogue One, then Jedi, then Revenge, Phantom, and Clones.
So really, it's your... You would... you know, as much as I've thought that I'm hating on this movie, I would only change one thing on your list as far as where it falls. Mm-hmm. I would have it below Jedi.
Yeah.
And then for me, Jedi and New Hope, they both have a lot going for them.
Yeah.
Obviously, New Hope has all the nostalgia. And,
exactly.
And, you know, Jedi has Ewoks. No, yeah. Jedi, you know, Jedi's is a better movie, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, it doesn't have the same nostalgia. Yeah, I would go Empire, Force Awakens. Yeah, so I would go 5, 7,
yeah.
4, 6,
yeah.
and then Rogue One.
I mean, there are people out there saying this is their favorite one.
Really?
And well, that's... I don't get how.
I don't either, because if this is your favorite Star Wars movie... Well, okay, actually, no, I don't really have a problem with that, I guess. If this is your favorite Star Wars movie, then you don't like Star Wars movies.
Yeah, exactly, because this is everything... Star Wars films usually aren't.
Right. And again...
You must really love war movies.
Totally fine with that.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, we knew that this is what we were getting. You know what I mean. We knew we were getting a different story and that, you know, they made it very clear that, you know, we don't want to be... You know, not only are we not part of the main line mm-hmm. Episodes, we don't want to be.
Yeah. And I hope they continue with that trend.
Yeah.
Because yes. I don't want the Han Solo film... I want it to feel different. Maybe that one will be the heisty type film.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I want these little standalone films to feel different than the main ones. And I hope they all do, because eventually you're going to want to stop doing the Skywalker stories and do some other shit.
Yeah.
This is a world... I know my friend Matt always fucking is like, can we just fucking end it with the Skywalkers already?
I did just think of the other thing that I was kind of disappointed with. Did you not think throughout the whole movie that her crystal was going to come back in some way?
Yeah. It's just, yeah, instead it's just a keepsake. Like, I thought maybe she'd have to use that to power something up or something.
Yeah, you know, maybe even a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And it would have been cool if it was a white lightsaber.
Yes. And that was something else that Ryan and I talked about. With her outfit change towards the end... She gets in that outfit with the two fucking batons on the back.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck? Why put her in an outfit that makes her look like goddamn Snake Eyes?
Yeah.
And not have her pull those bad boys out and knock the fuck out of people with
them? I know.
Is that a deleted scene somewhere where there was a fight scene that they just kind of pulled it out for spacing or something? But if you're going to put her in that outfit that's got, like, batons on the back,
I did think
use
it was,
them.
I remember kind of audibly chuckling, though, in the... you got to catch that. I audibly chuckled when, before that happened, the group of Imperial inspectors or whatever that walked up, they just happened to have a 5'3".
Yeah, tiny, tiny.
Tiny person.
She is not a big person.
No.
She's a tiny little woman, but yep.
It was just funny, you know, you've got these two average size.
Did they notice that, like, the guy in the outfit has a mustache now?
Yeah. No, they didn't.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, I don't care. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. You go back and watch Star Wars, there's some silly shit like that in it.
Oh, yeah.
And those are the things you overlook.
Yeah.
Such as, yeah, the costume fitting her rather well.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I think it's fair to say that I liked it, but I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little disappointed because I wanted it to be better. And that might just be... And we're judging it against other Star Wars movies.
Yeah, if this had come out before Force Awakens,
yeah,
I'd probably love it way more.
Yeah, me too.
But Force Awakens, for, you know, as much as people say, oh, it's just basically a retelling, still was fucking amazing.
Well,
when I rewatched it last week, I'm like, yep, this movie is still fucking awesome.
Retelling or not, there were still huge reveals in that movie.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. This movie was missing, And part of that was because we already knew the story, but you already know the story to a degree, and you already know the ending, the outcome. So you, at the very least, you know they succeed.
Yeah.
But that play threw me off because I don't know if I can even win. It's playoff week. It's the second week of the playoffs. How am I doing here? Not bad. Okay, where was I? What were we talking about?
I'm talking about unfair expectations.
Oh yeah, I was just thinking, like when I was watching it, afterwards thinking about it. Like, there's no one, and again, this is unfair. There's no one that I don't like Jin as much as Rey.
Yeah.
There's no one there that I like as much as Finn or Poe.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. Episode 7 gave us 4 brand new characters that were awesome.
Yeah.
You know.
Instant. Icons.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with, like the characters playing that. Like, Diego Luna was fine.
Yeah.
He's not fucking Oscar Isaacs.
Right.
Who you just look at and go, like, yeah, that guy's the coolest fucking pilot in the galaxy right there.
Right.
And same with, like, John Boyega, you know.
I hope by the end of the trilogy that Poe Dameron has a dance scene.
Like Ex Machina?
With a droid. Because that would be fucking genius.
That would be. Oh, man. That would be so awesome. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfair. And I feel bad for, you know, Rian Johnson currently filming. I think they just wrapped up filming on episode 8. He's got the hard job.
Yeah. Well, although he has got a lot of tools at his disposal and already has a pretty good setup.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, there's going to be expectations for episode 8.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, Rogue One had expectations, but I don't think anyone was expecting it to be better than, you know, episode 7 or episode 4.
No, I don't think so either.
People, I mean, just the fact that financially... It ended up doing $155 million this weekend.
Yeah.
And people are like, yep, that's great.
Yeah.
It's $100 million less than Episode 7.
Yeah.
And people are like, no, that's great. That's what we hoped it would be. And that's Batman versus Superman and Captain America money.
Yeah, sure.
So, I'm sure they're pleased. It's going to go on to make probably... It'll probably have longer legs in the theater than... I see it passing a billion easily.
Oh yeah.
Just because A, it'll do well in China thanks to Donnie Yen.
Yep.
Ah, I almost tipped over that heater. And it has wheels.
Yes, it does.
And it's got nothing competing with it coming out.
Right.
This film will do well long into January, I think.
It does have Assassin's Creed.
Yes. It does have Assassin's Creed and that Will Smith picture that came out against it this week that got destroyed.
What was that?
Something
the one where he's old?
Uncommon.
Or something?
Yeah.
Collateral Beauty.
Collateral Beauty. Yeah.
Yeah, that
How's one. That film doing, Will?
Yeah.
But, like, what's... in theaters. Show me Coming Soon.
I need to know.
It's got nothing. Passengers comes out next week. The one... I mean, that'll do well.
That's next week?
That's next week. That and Assassin's Creed. Wow. Way to go,
I guess I thought Passengers was already out because I think I've seen reviews for it already.
But that'll probably do okay.
Yeah.
That'll be a $100 million movie, I bet. But I think it won't do as well as it did come out a little bit at a different time.
Yeah.
Then Fences comes out the week of Christmas. That's not going to be playing to the same crowd.
What is Fences?
It's that...
That movie about fences.
It's the August Wilson play. Denzel is directing and starring in.
I don't even know why I bothered to ask because I don't.
Yeah, it was a great play. He won a Tony for it, as did oddly enough James Earl Jones when he first did it.
Whoa!
But it's not something that's going to take money away,
right?
Yeah, I'm looking through like. January's films, there's up until like probably January 20th when XXX The Return of Xander Cage comes out. That's about the only thing that'll probably hit the same audience.
Do the XXX movies do well?
The second one did not. The first one did okay. And then they did the one with Ice Cube.
I've never seen any.
Oh, God, they're not good.
Oh, no.
But this one, based on the trailer, is kind of following the Fast and the Furious. Let's just throw logic out.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, did you see the new Fast and the Furious trailer?
You mean The Fate of the Furious?
Yeah.
No, I did not watch it.
Apparently in this one,
Does it have anything to do with family?
Yes.
Okay.
They do say family like 6 times in the trailer.
Do they really?
They do.
That's awesome. but is this something that are they self-aware?
They have to be at this point. Because in this one, Vin Diesel's character is apparently a traitor.
Oh.
And he goes against the family. And it says that like 7 times.
Well, what is the family going to think of that?
Exactly. And that's kind of what they keep saying all the damn time.
Family's not going to like that too much.
family. They have to be self-aware. But this Triple X seems to kind of be playing into that ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Like, let's just go with it.
Yeah.
So it'll do well. At least enough to knock off some of the Star Wars money. But yeah, sure. I think Star Wars will continue to do well throughout.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people like us will go see it probably again. Yeah. I know I'll go see it again at least once or twice when I'm bored. I definitely didn't have the I need to see that immediately again
right
that I had with Episode 7.
Yeah, I could have turned right around and watched Episode 7 again.
Yes. I did not get that this time.
Right.
But I will probably see it again this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Most definitely, I'll see it again this week, I'm sure. But, and again, because nothing else is coming out that makes me want to go see it instead.
Yeah. Although
I probably will see Passengers. I don't know if I'll see it in the theater.
Oh, I definitely won't, but I'm interested in watching. Well, Robin will definitely want to watch it, because mm-hmm. those are her two favorite people.
Yeah.
So, she definitely wants
to. Yeah, when they cast that, they did well.
Yeah.
That film could suck, and they'll be like, well, it's got those two.
Yeah.
And people will see it just because those two are in it.
Yeah. And their press tour has been
fantastic. Yeah. Let's just have those two being those two.
Yeah. Did you watch the BBC Playground Insults?
Yes.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, and then
that was
the thing you showed me last week with the magic tricks.
Yes.
The car. I think I've pretty much hit on everything. There were times where I thought where this had too much humor.
Yeah.
I think. One thing, this will be the first Star Wars film not take, like, I think young kids to.
Oh, there were a bunch there, though.
There were a bunch there, but this is the first one where I'd be like,
yeah,
maybe.
Well, it's a darker story.
It's darker, and I don't know if it'll hold their interest as much.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, I would be interested to see, like, what a 6 or 7-year-old would think of this.
Yeah.
I mean, you're definitely going to have the talk with them, because all the characters die.
Yeah.
You know, that could be a crying thing right there. Like, you know, everybody's dead.
Yeah.
Did that bomb kill everybody? Yep, sure did, kid.
Well, that's...
They're all dead as fuck.
Yeah, they don't even really show, showing someone getting obliterated, I guess, is kind of pointless. But, even when the wave is coming or whatever, they go away, like, right before, so...
Yeah.
Like, maybe in the head of a 6-year-old be like, yeah, they survived that.
Yeah, they just ducked.
Yeah.
They ducked and covered. They were fine. And then they retired happily. That's why you never see them again.
Right, yeah. They were given an early retirement by the rebellion. Just
they live on that beach now.
Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, it's definitely the darkest, even compared to, like, shit like Empire.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, because Empire, it's funny that when I was growing up as a kid, I didn't think of Empire as, like, I didn't get it. I didn't get its place in the trilogy. It was just an awesome Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, this is, like, really dark and has a bad ending. Because they end it on the...
Yeah, because we're not terribly aware of 3-act structure.
Right.
As 7-year-olds. But this is a fantastic end to the second act of the trilogy.
Yeah.
This is exactly what it should be.
Right.
At that time, you're just like, wait, where'd Han go?
Yeah. No, at the end, you know, it's kind of, they do the same happy thing at the end of Empire. They do, you know, that you're picturing in 1,000 other movies, kind of like the sunset picture, is them standing in front of the thing, and you're like, oh, okay, I guess it's a happy ending, you know, when you're like 6.
Yeah.
fuck that guy, you know? So I overall think it's fair to say that I was disappointed only because it was a Star Wars movie, mm-hmm. And just the sheer number of things that I had that I took issue with. I felt like I spent too much time watching it, thinking about what I didn't like about it.
Well, that's one of the reasons, like, I want a second viewing before I cement a place. Because, you know, after by the second viewing, you might not be as disappointed. You might find more things that you like about it, type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. There are movies...
Or there could be things you end up hating more about at the second viewing. You never know.
Well,
it needs that.
It's funny, because I've talked before about movies that I, you know, that are just, like, universally adored by people like us, and then I go back and watch them, and I have problems with them now. Mm-hmm. Like, Avengers is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. But there have been movies before that I not only just kind of liked a little bit, but just I flat out didn't like the first time I saw mm-hmm. it, and then ended up, after a couple more viewings, actually liking the movie.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the problems with being very self-aware movie viewers.
Yeah.
Is, like, my brain doesn't shut off when I watch a movie.
Right.
I'm constantly guessing, making predictions,
looking
for clues and all kinds of, and sometimes that can take away from the enjoyment of the film because I'm formulating where I think it's going to go. And then if it doesn't go that way,
instead of letting them tell their story, expecting
it. Yeah. That, I think, comes for me more with the second viewing. Now that I know where they're going, that's when I'll be like, oh, they did a really good job of laying clues for that back in the first act.
Yeah.
They did this, you know. It's stuff that I might not have noticed the first time around because I was too busy trying to make the movie fit into what my narrative for it was.
Yeah. But there were... this movie was more loaded than... there were more nods in this movie, I think, than there were even in Force Awakens.
Oh, definitely. That's one of the things I mentioned there, like, the blue juice...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Front and center of the stage.
Right.
You know? Because
I actually leaned over and said to Ryan, they have blue milk too.
Yeah, exactly. The scenes on Yavin 4 when ships take off and it shows that one solitary
dude
in the tower.
Yeah.
That's an iconic shot. They did a lot of stuff like that.
Did you ever watch the Family Guy parody?
I watched like one of them.
It's hilarious. But anyway, that part of the... of the Star Wars parody of the, you know, the guy standing in the tower and he's got that tracking thing. It's just, it shows that scene, but the guy goes, pew, pew, pew. So when I saw that scene the other night, that's exactly what I did in my head. Is pew, pew.
Yeah, there were a couple scenes like that where it's like, that is a visual nod to the other films.
Yeah.
That, you know, only super nerds are noticing probably, but
yeah,
it's a
and
nice
even
touch.
Yeah, and in other like you said, other than the R2 and 3PO, they were all pretty subtle.
Yeah, I mean that's the stuff with the Rebels.
Yeah.
I had no idea there were that many nods to Rebels. I don't watch Rebels,
right.
So I wasn't picking up on it, but it didn't detract.
Right
when that name comes over the loudspeaker.
Yeah.
Asking for a certain character, I don't catch on.
Right, and
it doesn't bother me that it was there.
Right, because it wasn't something that was put front and center that you were like, wait a second, should I know who that is?
Yeah.
It was background noise.
Yeah. Whereas the 3PO and R2 were right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Obvious, we're just trying to get them into the movie somehow. This is where we figured we could put them.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't make any additional sense for them to be here.
Yeah.
But they're not necessary, but we're putting them in the damn movie. Get over it.
Yeah. And it does surprise me that something like that, especially a movie like this that would have so many eyeballs on it,
mm-hmm.
that no one would have said, there's got to be a more clever way to get them in.
Yeah. Especially considering the end of the movie takes place on the ship they're on.
Yeah, they didn't even need to have like what you would even call a cameo. They should have been part of that scene.
Yeah.
I loved... It's weird, because I mean, really, if you think about it, I bet if you go back and time it, it's probably the last 90 seconds of that movie.
Yeah, it's not long.
It's not very long. I loved that it got to the last guy sticking his arm through the door to pass on the stuff. I just thought that was so... That was really well done.
Yeah.
That brought... That brought me back to... I think if the movie had ended with the sunset-y ending, even though I've complained that that acted like an ending and then they went kept going, if it had ended with that, I'd have been disappointed.
Yeah.
Like...
Especially considering we had heard it's going to pretty much end exactly where episode 4 starts.
Yeah. So, did they actually come out and say that?
Yes, I remember reading that prior. Whether or not it was like an official thing or someone saying, but yeah, that was pretty much, no, it's going to end right where 4 starts. Which will be really fun when this comes out on Blu-ray.
Mm.
To be able to watch these, like, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And, you know, they definitely did their homework because the ship is the right ship. You know,
Oh yeah.
Everything looked right. The costuming was great.
Yes, definitely.
It looked perfect. You know, these were their outfits on the ship. You know, they wore those stupid ass helmets.
Yeah. And it's too bad. They probably won't get any credit for it.
No,
because that's not. Although wasn't like Fifth Element nominated for costumes?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that definitely was. This might. You never know.
Have any other Star Wars movies been?
Definitely not any of the prequels.
No.
Maybe the first one.
Yeah.
But most of the time that stuff, it was just like, it goes more to the technical, like, special effects stuff than it's like the costumes in that instance.
Right.
Costume stuff always ends up going to period dramas, which I don't understand.
I know.
those outfits exist.
Yeah.
Give it to the people who make shit up.
Right.
Stuff like, you know, The Fifth Element, where they've got an actual fashion designer involved in the project.
Right. Hi, Kat.
I think I've hit all my...
Yeah, stuff. I hit everything that I was going to.
This might be one of our shorter episodes.
Well, I think it's good, because we're just going to talk about this subject. That way, if you haven't seen the movie yet, you know, for people that haven't seen the movie yet, they can just kind of... They wouldn't be missing any other content
that
they'd be dying to hear. Although, let's talk about... I guess it doesn't really matter to the listener. Oh, well, sort of, I guess it does. How do you want to handle the next couple weeks?
Well, I figure next weekend we're just going to both be doing Christmassy shit between all the families.
Right.
And then the next the Sunday after that's December 31st. I don't give a fuck about New Year's, you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so...
No.
So I figure we record that... It'll...
Just record
the year end on the year end on the last day of the year.
Well, the last day of the year is a Saturday.
Oh, is New Year's actually the first?
Yeah, New Year's.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But well, we can just record on the first.
Yeah.
And that one will be like basically
our best of,
best and worst of,
best of, worst of, and surprisings.
Yeah. And I'll get my bring my little notebook down from up in the garage. I've been up there like 4 times this week and I didn't grab it any time that I went up. I'm kind of excited to do that because I'm going to do it again this year with the, you know, suspected 2017 games. Mm.
I actually went through my notebook like a week ago.
Yeah.
And like, I was surprised at how many movies I wanted to see at the beginning of the year I haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff that I want, books I want to read or something, I'm like, nope, never got to that. But then at the same time going like, I've watched a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I've watched a ton of movies this year. I'll actually have a final count next week. I mean, the week of our final podcast. I'll have a total number of films watched over the year.
Now, what do you... what in your mind wouldn't count? Like, if you... Say you threw in Titanic to go to sleep by, would you count that?
I would
that?
Not count that.
Okay.
I probably would, because like, I'll use the example. One of the things that would have made my surprise list was going to be the film Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah.
But it came out in like September.
Yeah.
I just never got around to watching it until like February.
Right.
I'm not going to count that.
Yeah.
Because for me, that's like, I should have, you know, that could have been a part of last year's. I was just lazy.
Sure.
I didn't get around to it.
Sure.
But stuff like Spotlight and The Big Short, stuff that... It came out for 1 week in December.
Yeah.
In New York.
Right.
And it didn't come out anywhere here until February. I would count that.
Yeah.
But I'll probably have a special category for those ones.
Yeah, because I feel differently about those two.
And I'm not going to include things that would have been obvious for me. Like, Captain America Civil War was one of my favorite films of the year.
Yeah.
We talked about it an awful lot, though. So yeah. That probably... A lot of my top threes are going to be stuff I think we didn't talk about as much.
Yeah.
Stuff that should get an additional mention. Maybe there will be, like, a top three films everyone knew I was going to name.
Yeah, I mean...
Civil War, Deadpool, and
yeah.
Rogue One, you know.
Oh, that was the other thing about difference between Force Awakens and Rogue One. I knew going into the year that, and maybe this is, you know, just, you know, fulfilling your own destiny, but I went into the year knowing that Force Awakens was going to be my favorite movie of the year.
Yep.
And that's, I'd have to look, but it's at the very least, it's behind Deadpool and Civil War.
Hmm.
It's certainly ahead of the Apocalypse and the other, what's that other, Suicide Squad.
Mm.
But I don't, I mean, I again, I'd have to look, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's outside the top three and maybe even top five for the year. Although I don't feel like I watched a whole lot of movies the second half of the year, but.
Yeah, it's weird. Because I watched a lot of movies in February and March.
Yeah.
And a lot in October.
Yeah.
The other months all had like 10 to 15 movies.
Yeah.
Those 2 months were huge. So it's looking at my list, I'm like, right now my top 10 is all horror movies and Academy Award winners.
Right. Yeah, because those are the ones you watch.
Those are the ones I watch the most.
Yeah, because, and that's probably, minus the horror movies, it was probably February when I watched the most movies, because
yep.
I watched all those, save for a few. And then, I mean, like, I haven't even seen Doctor Strange, but that's still playing, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that film, I think it's only at, like, $230 million or so.
Is that sub-Thor?
I think that's right around Thor money.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, not really a disappointment. It's still going to make over $500 million.
Yeah. And it will... Yeah, so...
Yeah, if anyone had, like, 8 years ago had gone, hey, you know what? Doctor Strange film's going to come out, and it's going to make about $500 million worldwide, I would have been like, what?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So we're into that area now where anything Marvel comes out, it's going to make X amount of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
I do think... Most of Marvel's numbers will be blown away by Guardians. That's going to make Avengers-level money.
You think so?
I think so. Maybe not quite as much as the first Avengers, because that made a lot.
Yeah.
But I think it'll surpass Age of Ultron.
Yeah?
I really do.
Where does Civil War fit?
I think above... I think it's above Age of Ultron, but not a whole lot.
Okay.
I can actually... find that out real quick by going to Box Office Mojo.
So, Civil War is the second highest grossing.
I think.
Because none of the solo films certainly have been. Or, well, Civil War technically is a solo. War is a solo film with more Avengers in it than the Avengers.
Looking at this week's box office, Rogue One made 155.
Yep.
Moana made 11. That's done very well.
Yeah.
Number three was Office Christmas Party.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I heard that wasn't very good.
Probably not. Collateral Beauty was number four.
Okay.
At $7 million.
Yikes.
A Will Smith film opening up was to $7 million. That's not covering his salary for that film yet.
Oh, no. No.
Fantastic Beasts is up over 200. Doctor Strange is currently at 226.
Is that domestic?
Domestic. Let me go to its worldwide here. Worldwide, 652.
Yeah, so...
Marvel's okay with this. Marvel Cinematic... But, oddly enough, it's number 9. As far as... Oh, that's not worldwide, though. Okay, Age of Ultron, worldwide... has done... 1.4.
Jesus Christ.
That might actually be bigger than.
That's such a fucking stupid amount of money.
It really is. When you think of all the shit in this world that we have no money for, you're like, oh, That movie made $1.4 billion. That could fund schools.
Yeah.
God. Okay, Marvel Cinematic Universe. Let's see where you're at. Captain America, Winter Soldier. Wow. Not Winter Soldier. Civil War. Has made 1.1 worldwide. So Avengers has actually done more.
Then, which one did you just say? Which Cap movie?
Civil War.
Okay.
Yeah. Domestic U.S., it's Avengers with 6.2, Avengers Age of Ultron with 4.5, Iron Man with 4.09, Civil War with 4.08, the first Guardians with 3.33, then the two Iron Mans, and Civil War. Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is... Wow, Thor kind of sucked domestically. 181, and the
he
Dark
World... huge in Scandinavia.
The Dark World did 206. So, Doctor Strange, I doubt, will catch the Winter Soldier, money-wise. But still, I mean, considering Ant-Man only did 180.
Yeah, it's safely in the...
Yeah.
Inside the ballpark.
And there's Incredible Hulk way down with 134.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm looking...
I'm surprised that they even count that as...
Yeah. The first Guardians did $333 million. I'm guessing the next one will do over $400 million.
Yeah. I think...
To do $333 for a property no one even knew about...
I think that Chris Pratt is the biggest superstar movie
he
star
is.
In the world.
You've right got now. Baby Groot front and center.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to be like... Kids are going to want to go see Baby Groot.
Yeah.
I mean, the first Guardians, I don't think they expected it to be what it was.
No.
They definitely didn't expect it to be as kid popular, I think.
No, probably not.
And the kid popular character was Rocket Raccoon. He's still there, and now you've got Baby Groot on top of that.
Right.
Colin is going to be dying to see this.
Oh, yeah. He loves that. We've watched the trailer 100 times.
Exactly. You know, seen it 100 times. Everybody saw it on video, you know, that didn't see it in the theater.
Right.
I don't know anyone who doesn't like Guardians.
Right, right.
I know people who are like, yeah, Age of Ultron kind of sucked.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who didn't like Guardians, and this just looks like it's going to be even better. I'm going to think this is going to be kind of like Batman Begins moving to Dark Knight level money.
Oh, yeah?
Where it's like, I think it could hit 5.
Yeah?
I do. That'll be like one of my predictions for the year. That Guardians will be huge. And it's coming out in May, a bigger time of the year, as opposed to August.
Well, that's when Marvel puts up their tentpole.
Yeah.
Is May. That's when...
Yeah, that's when Civil War came out. That's when the Avengers films have all come out.
Yeah. So, yeah.
They're showing
They're
confidence.
Thinking... That's what they're... That's definitely, you know, it's definitely what they're thinking.
Yep.
But anyway. Wrapping up?
Yeah, I think we're wrapping up territory here.
Wrapping up, we'll get to end of the year stuff next week. I've been playing a lot of games lately. The entire Batman Telltale series is out. I'm halfway through episode 4. That's very good so far. Because it's selling poorly, Call of Duty is really cheap right now. With my Gamers Club whatever, I got it Infinite Warfare and the remaster for $40.
Oh yeah, I saw your comment on the remaster.
And those were, it was $80 at launch, and it's $40 now, a little over a month later. I haven't seen numbers, but I think they're out now. But there were the rumors were that year over year it was a 50% drop for Call of Duty.
Wow.
Now that's still a shitload of money, but it's a lot less than usual.
Yeah, no kidding.
But anyway,
that's a big title.
Yeah, so I got the remaster. I couldn't even play it that night though, because it's you have to download. It's a ridiculous download, not because of the size. I mean, it's an average game size. It's like 38 or 40 gigs, but. I was, at some points, and it was definitely on their end, because I had a really good connection, or, you know, as good as it usually is at my house, it was going to take, like, 13 hours to do.
Holy shit.
And it still ended up taking quite a while. I just let it go overnight. But yeah, it looks really good. I've had a good time playing through that. But anyway, we will be off next week, and then
We can probably release episode 68 next week.
That's right. I could.
Yeah.
I could.
So you're getting a bonus episode.
Yes. I'll do that. Yeah. That's a good idea.
You'll get our Thanksgiving episode the week of Christmas.
Because I think, so that I won't forget, I'm pretty sure I can do a schedule, and it will release it on it. I can do it right, like, in a couple minutes.
There you go.
Okay. All right, people, you didn't really need to hear all that.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Bye.